Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Heller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. D-Mays, how we doing? Happy March Madness, everybody.
Hey, happy March Madness. Go green, go white.
Uh-huh.
For all my Sparties out there. Michelle shaking her head.
You got some love over in Jasper, somebody across the way.
Go
the
white.
Spartans are everywhere.
Yes.
Willie Donick, how we doing?
I'm doing well. I watched the first four last night.
Uh-huh.
What was my adage I said on the show? The late, great CM Newton, the guy who gave me a scholarship to Vanderbilt. He was the chairman of the selection committee. Once upon a time, he used to say, show me you can beat an NCAA team on a neutral or road court.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for when he made the selections. I noted that Nevada had not done either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How'd Nevada do last
and
night?
And they got that butt whooped last night.
Nevada spanky, did not
spanky,
have one of those.
AJ Brown level butt whooping.
Yeah, but I'm not bitter or anything. I'm not bitter. I'm over
you
it.
Sure? You
I'm
sure over you're
it?
Over it?
No, I'm not over it.
Willie, you can always
it.
Be bitter.
I'm not
it's
over
okay.
it.
Okay, we'll allow it.
I'm not over it.
We're out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. We'll be hanging out here all day long. This is my first time being at Jasper's. This place is awesome. So
pretty
come
cool.
out. They just opened. Come out to Jasper's. Watch the games. Grab a beer, grab a shot of whiskey, grab some wings. They have great food here. We'll be
it
hanging
should
out
be
Jasper's.
A national holiday.
Let's it is just a get national
it should
holiday.
Be a, just come on
Happy
over.
March
come to
Madness.
Jasper's, have some fun, watch the games. It's American.
We
be
all,
an American.
We all know you all took off work anyway.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Yeah, you're coughing
nobody's
off
working
sick
today.
Today.
Y'all at the bar anyway,
yeah.
So it don't matter.
Crazy how everybody
y'all
all of a sudden
like,
is getting
sick. Yeah, okay. You
yeah.
got March Madness fever.
I feel
fever.
A fever coming on. Yeah, it's March Madness fever. Well, we'll get into all of the March Madness picks, our thoughts on the game last night, our thoughts on the upcoming games throughout the rest of the tournament. But I want to start here because I have seen throughout free agency, honestly, I've been pretty impressed with the moves that the Titans have made. Not that they've been splashy moves, not that they've been big-time marquee moves, but I feel like all of these moves have been very calculated, that it's moves they go out and get a player to fill a position of need, and it's not flashy, but you can get them on the cheap. You can find a player with a high upside. You find those players that Rand Carthon knows from San Francisco and can kind of attest to their character, attest to their ability. And I thought, okay, they are really going into this in a very calculated way. Until I saw the news yesterday that the Tennessee Titans placed a second-round tender on Aaron Brewer,
mm-hmm.
worth $4.3 million. Now, I thought this whole time that the Titans were going to bring back Aaron Brewer because I thought, okay, that's one less position that you might not need to go get in the draft or in free agency on the offensive line. And if it just so happens that you find either a guard or a center in the draft that's better than Aaron Brewer, then you pay him a low enough salary that you feel comfortable just sitting him on the bench and using him as more so a reserve offensive lineman. $4.3 million, Aaron Brewer's your starting center moving forward.
Yeah, I can't see it being in any other way at this particular time. Now, they may draft someone or bring another free agent in and the guy just wows them and, you know, Aaron ends up losing his position. But you know, he can be that swing guy. He can go from center to guard. And 4 point whatever million is probably small considering what, you know, what teams are paying offensive linemen nowadays. We saw what Orlando Brown Jr. got, 64 million, 34 in signing bonus, highest of any offensive lineman ever. I know he plays a different position. But offensive linemen, whether it be the guard, center, or tackle, the price seems to be getting higher and higher. And if you're getting Aaron Brewer for $4 million, that's a bargain because you can bench him and not sort of feel bad about paying him the money because he can be a swing guy. But I truly do believe that they believe they have their left tackle mm-hmm. in Dillard, who was a former first-round draft pick. I believe in their mind, this is their left tackle moving forward. I think that in the draft, in the first round, they can potentially move back in the first round or get best player available. They don't necessarily have to go the left tackle route. They can go a guard, the best guard out there. They can go best center out there. I think they've given themselves leeway to go get the best player available in the draft with their first round pick.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Generally speaking, teams tend to not value the center in the draft very much, right? I mean,
you got to be like
you got to be
those,
a dominating
city,
center.
Yeah.
Sean Payton drafts centers in the first round like a freaking maniac.
Yeah,
he's
and he
the
would be
only
an outlier.
One.
Yeah.
He's the outlier here. He drafted a center in back to back drafts in the first round.
But this move would tell you that they feel like Aaron Brewer is going to be their center. Mm-hmm. I think you know, unless he plays his way out of it, he's been starting. He's a Vrabel guy. Mm-hmm. And I think they must feel like his strengths will work better at center.
Exactly.
Because as an undersized guard, he had some issues, right? That wasn't an easy spot for him. Maybe it'll be easier for him at center. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. But that move screams to me that you don't pay that and have a second round tender for a swingman utility backup guy, right? I think they want him to take that job.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I don't think they feel paying him too much.
Right, he's not useless.
Exactly.
But that still would be a little hefty to pay.
Yeah.
Second round tender.
That's a hefty amount to pay for a guy that you expect to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Because I hear you about Orlando Brown. I want to get into Orlando Brown's deal. Because
that's a really interesting
deal.
It's
an interesting deal for sure. But, you know, that's a certified starting left tackle in the league. I don't know if Aaron Brewer is right now at his size a certified starting offensive lineman in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he, from a technique standpoint, he's a starter. But because of him being undersized, you know, he's sort of that he can be a liability at times. You know, a guy, you got those 320-pound defensive tackles, 340, that are going to just hunker down and try to burrow you over. I think they believe if they put him at center, at least they can give him some help. They can give him a little bit more help with the two guards on either side.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, I can see him picking up a little bit more weight. I don't know how much weight he can pick up. What is he, 270, 280 right about now?
On the Titans website, he's listed as like 275. And then in his description, it's listed as 290-something.
So he's around 280 probably.
Yeah, law of averages there.
He can gain, you know, maybe 10 more pounds. But in gaining that, can he keep it throughout the whole season? He's probably just naturally a smaller guy to play that position. He's more of a sort of a defensive end / linebacker than he is an offensive lineman.
I would probably agree.
Based upon weight.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do think you're starting to see the offensive line shape up, where just a couple of weeks ago, I can speak for myself, but I think a lot of Titans fans felt the same way of, how in the world are you going to fill up this entire offensive line? They go out, they find Andre Dillard. That's their left tackle of at least the near future. Aaron Brewer signed to a second-round tender. That's your center. I think they probably feel comfortable with him at center. And they sign Drunskull. I'm going to have a tough time keeping all these names straight. Goodness gracious. Daniel Brunskill, he's going to be your right guard of the future. Mm-hmm. Is Nicholas Petitfrere your right tackle of the future? Maybe, maybe not. But now you're starting to see it shape up, where you might go into the draft only needing one, maybe two positions on the offensive line, whereas I thought we might be going into the draft needing 4 to 5.
Well, I think you're still going to need offensive linemen, because you don't want to run into the same problem you ran into last year, where guys are dropping and all of a sudden you're trying to pick other guys up from other, you know, practice squad rosters and finding guys who are not on teams. I think they're going to try to do what they can via the draft and potentially bringing in more free agents to fill up this offensive lineman room, because right now they have really, four or five guys that they probably feel good about. After that, you know, their hands are up in the air. So, to me, they got to get more depth at the offensive lineman position.
Yeah, you want to try to create some competition, right, and have option A, B, C, and hope that one of them ends up at each position the right guy. So that's a good question. Is how much have they budgeted with what they have from draft capital and free agent or, you know, cap money to go get guys to fill those spaces? Because that's really that everything starts with that. If you tell me they're going to have an improved offensive line, you need a little luck with health. But if their offensive line can improve, then that goes a long way and telling me how competitive they could be, right? If they're going to come back with Tannehill and Henry and the guy and their defense, right? Offensive line will be a huge, huge part of the equation.
Absolutely. And while they're, you know, in New York, when they're talking about Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, that's probably a lot more sexy of a conversation than talking about left and right guards and who's going to fill in those positions. But I think we saw the consequences that you have to pay this past season when you don't have a legitimate starter in each position at the offensive line. How detrimental that truly can be to your football team.
Especially if you get a couple guys hurt, which is what happened.
And when you get your quarterback hurt, because your quarterback is obviously in much more imminent danger in front of Dennis Daly and LaRaven Clark. No disrespect to those guys. But.
Oh, LaRaven.
Oh, LaRaven. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. Come out to Jasper's. Watch the games. Grab a beer. Grab some drinks. Grab some food. They've got a bunch of TVs up here at the bar. We'll be watching the games and hanging out here all day long. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 125-1063. The game. 125-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. And hey, 125 The Game is live from Jasper's, located in 1918 West End Avenue, for the first day of tournament games. Come out, enjoy the games with us, and while you are here, take advantage of the shot and a beer special. It's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee whiskey, plus a bottled domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, oversized bar, TVs, and game room make them the place to catch all the games. I know D-Mace is getting a shot and a beer after the show.
Oh, I feel it might be. Now, because here's one of the reasons. One of the reasons it might happen, Michelle, big Kentucky person, Derek, Michigan State, as we've been, they're on the same side. They could be. I've got them playing each other down the road.
Yeah.
They could meet head-to-head. They've had some epic battles in the tournament in the past.
Yeah.
It could happen again this year, D-Mace. I'm just saying.
I'm not worried about it. We'll win again.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I feel confident. Some tension coming between Michelle
Izzo
and
Cal. Izzo.
Give me Izzo.
There was a little stare down. There was a stare down between Michelle and Derek during the break. I'm just throwing that out there. There was a stare down.
A lot of tension over here. West Virginia and Maryland just tipped off. We're only a few minutes into the game. West Virginia leads Maryland 7-4. We'll keep you updated with all of the March Madness tournament action. Breaking down some of the moves that the Titans have made so far in free agency, and more so with the guys in-house. And they placed a second-round tender on Aaron Brewer, which I frankly will not understand. I understand bringing back Aaron Brewer, bringing back a familiar face that knows the offense, have an extra body on the offensive line. But at the $4.3 million price tag, I couldn't understand it. But it seems like with the numbers, with the money, Aaron Brewer is going to be your center of the future. Another tag placed yesterday was also a second-round tender on Tier Tart. And good for Tier Tart. I did not expect a $4.3 million price tag on Tier Tart. And I don't think anybody's trading a second-round pick for Tier Tart. But I'm happy for Tier Tart. He has been a solid part of this front seven on the defensive line. I think that's a good move for the Titans to bring him back.
It's a good story.
It really is.
And how can you not love watching Tier Tart play? I mean, he's a fun, energy guy. That's another Vrabel guy, right? And I think that's where they feel good about spending that money. They feel good, even though it might be a little bit of a reach for the second round tender. Yeah. You know, you get the certainty pretty much, and you say, that's the guy I like. Mm-hmm. I like that guy. He fits with what we're doing. He's a great team guy. Mm-hmm. He's got great enthusiasm. He makes plays, and he's part of a really good defensive line. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either. I think Tier Tart was one of those guys that I think you had to bring him back.
Yeah.
Because you can never – it's like the offensive line. You can never have too many really good defensive tackles or linemen because they rotate those guys so much.
Yep.
You know, they play two or three plays, then they're out for two or three plays. So it's that constant rotation. I saw it plenty of times, you know, when I played here, whether it be – it was Albert Haynesworth, Javon Kurz, John Thornton, all these guys, they would consistently rotate, and all of them were good. And that defensive line was always fresh, and it made everybody else's job on the defense a lot easier because they were able and capable of rotating guys and not lose much production. And I'm pretty sure that's what Vrabel and Rand Carthon are thinking now. Let's stockpile our defensive line because we're going to have to rely on our defense, you know, for possibly the next one or two seasons. So we need to sign guys like T.R. Tart. We need to get guys like Denico Autry and make sure he doesn't leave and go anywhere else. We need to sign the Jeffrey Simmons. They went out and got they went out and plugged a few holes with the linebacker spot. So keeping T.R. Tart to me had to be one of their top priorities other than Jeffrey Simmons.
Maybe a steep price tag, but honestly, like I have no problem.
He's worth it.
No problem with it. You look at this defensive line shaping up to be, let's assume, Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Harold Landry, Arden Key, T.R. Tart. And that's what it fits the identity of what this football team wants to be. Run the ball, play really good defense. And this defensive line is shaping up to be to fit that identity that they want to be.
I agree. I think that that could be a big strength. And if you can get a little development from the secondary, if you could get a good full year out of Fulton. When Fulton plays, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
When he plays, he's pretty good. McCreary had an encouraging.
When he plays.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Availability. McCreary had an encouraging rookie year. You hope he can build on that. Maybe you get Elijah Molden back. I mean, he had a kind of a sunk year.
Yeah.
Never really got going at all, but he had a good year 2 years before. I don't think you completely write him off. I think there's some pieces there that you could work with. You still got Beyer to anchor it. And then I think what you're seeing from Rand Carthon is that the inside linebacker position is a little bit more fungible, right? It's not where you spend a lot of money. You can find guys, you know, Amani Rice or Dylan Cole, you know, the guys they've been using there. You can get some mileage there. If the front four is good, and if your secondary is good, you can get by with, you know, average guys that you're not paying a lot in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, because, a lot of times what you see in this league is that if you have a dominant defensive line, it helps out the secondary. And sometimes, you know, you look at guys, but man, he's a hell of a cover guy. Well, no, look who he got in front of him that's rushing the passer. So you only got so many seconds to throw the football. And if I only have to cover for 2 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds, it makes my job as a defensive back. I don't have to be the greatest defensive back. I just need to stay within the framework of the defense. If it's telling me I need to play cover two, then play cover two. If it's cover three, you know, man press, man off, then that's what I play. Play my leverage because I know that quarterback doesn't have a lot of time to throw, and eventually he will make mistakes.
I totally agree. And I still do think this cornerback room needs some revamping and needs some renovation. In the offseason, they need depth. They just need bodies. But go back to 2021 when the Titans had one of the best defenses in the league, and that was with basically zero production from Caleb Farley. That was with Christian Fulton and the hamstring issues and Jackrabbit Jenkins, who isn't, you know, the next greatest gift to cornerbacks in the world. And it was because, and they were one of the top defenses in the league still, and it was because of that defensive line. Because the defensive line did the tough work. They got to the quarterback, so the corners could sit back and say, okay, we're good. You know, we don't have to do our job because the defensive line did its job. And while we're on the topic of tenders that the Titans gave out, of course, Aaron Brewer, the second round tender, $4.3 million, T.R. Tart with the same tender. I think about this because I was a little bit shocked that the Titans didn't place a tender on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It would have been worth $2.62 million. And I said, okay, they probably wanted a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine price tag closer to maybe a $1 to $1.5 million price tag. They didn't want to pay Nick Westbrook-Ikhine the $2.6. I understood that. To your point, D-Mace, he doesn't play special teams. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to dish out the extra cash for a guy who doesn't play special teams. But wide receiver is still a pretty desperate need for the Titans going into the 2023 season. So you place a second-round tender on Aaron Brewer, and you're not going to place a tender on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine for almost half the price. And I don't think either of them are legitimate starters at their respective positions. But I was a little bit surprised to see that much money dished out to Aaron Brewer and not to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine when they're both positions of need.
Well, I think one reason they possibly did it, because they're going to allow him to go and test the market. From what has come out, they offered him a contract. He rejected the contract. Mm-hmm. He wants to go out and test the market. And
go for it.
The Titans are, hey, listen, go for it. Test the market. And if he can't find you know, a deal out there that he likes, then there's a possibility of him coming back on a one-year deal at the price that they were going to give him. But I do believe they believe in their mind they have something in Racy McMath. They want to see, has he taken that step this year at being not necessarily a starter, but that number three receiver. Mm-hmm. Then you got to remember, they got Kyle Phillips that's still there. He dealt the whole season with a bunch of injuries, but he showed promise when he did play. So they have a few guys that they think can contribute along with Treylon Burks, but you're right. They do need to bring more guys in. I don't fault them. I would have tried to sign Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, you know, and not let him hit the open market, but I'm not going to overpay for him.
Right.
Because he's a 3-4, but he doesn't play special teams. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have overpaid for him, but give him an opportunity to test the market. If it's not there, then bring him back on the deal you wanted him. But you still have to add more guys to this roster in that receiver room, whether it's another veteran guy or you draft a guy in this year's draft.
Well, let's put it in perspective, though. All right, I'm looking at the average price of an NFL center. Okay, the highest paid center in the NFL is Frank Ragnow from the Detroit Lions. Why do they have the top paid center in the NFL? I don't know.
I would have assumed it was probably Jason Kelce.
How much do you think the top center makes?
Or
let's even say
10.
It's 8.5.
Chase Roullier, I think that's how you say it. I don't know. I don't have the centers memorized. $10 million is Chase Roullier. He's sixth.
Okay.
It ranges. Mr. Ragnow makes 13.5 against the cap.
Word.
So the starting center, you know, the average starting center, I'm looking at 16 through 22. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Josh Myers at 22 for Green Bay. He's 1.4. At number 18, Andre James from Vegas, 4.3. So, I mean, I think what you're seeing with Aaron Brewer is that's about the average.
Yeah.
That somewhere in the middle is what you pay for a starting center, a veteran starting center.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around for a while. So, that's not that out of line, I don't think, for what you pay a center and what you're going to get. I think Brewer, he's played a lot of games, right? He started a lot last year, and they think his better position is center than guard. So I'm okay with that price. I don't know if you can compare it to wide receiver. Westbrook-Ikhine, to me, especially because he doesn't play special teams, is replacement level for the most part. He hasn't taken the step forward. I think you can find another guy. I think you'd love him. You wouldn't mind having him back at the right price. But, you know, the lock him in at 2 point whatever, I don't think that was necessary.
I agree. I'm not campaigning for it.
The market will prove it. I hope he gets another deal. Hope he makes money somewhere else if somebody gives it to him. Just takes one team. I don't see it, though.
I would not campaign to pay Nick Westbrook-Ikhine $2.6 million because I don't think you can pay, even though like that is such chump change in the grand scheme of things in the NFL. But when you are looking at the situation that the Titans are in, where they want to find good players at a fairly reasonable price, I mean, when you have to split hairs at that point. I don't think that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a $2.6 million receiver. But you say, you know, the going rate, it's kind of average for a starting center in the league.
Yeah,
I think Aaron Brewer is your starting center, but is he a starting center in the league? And that's kind of where you start to nitpick, because I didn't think that the Titans would go into this season saying, okay, Aaron Brewer is our starting center. I understand the sentiment that, okay, if we don't find that guy in the draft, we at least have a fallback option.
But I think Vrabel likes him. And
he loves him.
And he's going to give him an opportunity to play that center position possibly and win that starting role.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on the Titans' moves in free agency, both pieces that they bring in, both pieces that they've retained, and pieces that they have let go. But coming up next, I listened to the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' sit-down with Pat McAfee, and there
are... Oh, congratulations.
I don't even want to accept congratulations for that, because I don't think that I deserve it.
Do you regret it?
I don't regret it because it was entertaining. but I do feel like an hour of my life was wasted.
Okay.
But we will get into some of my favorite highlights of Aaron Rodgers' sit-down with Pat McAfee yesterday. And what does the AFC look like now that it seems like Aaron Rodgers is headed to New York? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. So I would just, I think it is interesting at this point to step back and look at the whole picture.
There you go. That was Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show. And I did take an hour out of my day.
Okay, so that's what I want to know. It was an hour?
It was an hour long.
A full hour.
A full
okay.
hour.
Of the hour, how much meat was there in there? Like, could it have been done in 20 minutes? Could it have been done in 10 minutes?
You just heard it. That was the meat. That was the meat.
So the rest of it was just kind of nothing.
He was bloviating about the darkness retreat.
Bloviating. Okay.
There we go.
On and on about the darkness retreat, and then talking about what time he was fed at the darkness retreat and how he used that to kind of count the days and what he was doing in the darkness retreat. And then he went through an entire soliloquy about the history of the Green Bay Packers organization.
Was it Shakespearean?
It was awfully Shakespearean.
Okay.
Yeah, big Macbeth vibes.
Okay.
It was. I mean, he went on and on and on about, like, you know, the construct of the Green Bay Packers organization and who works where in the history of the organization, his history with Green Bay. There was a point in time where I was like, I had to take my eyeballs open so I could just see. I'm like, oh, there's got to be something juicy.
Well, at least he knew the history of Green Bay, so that tells you he was paying attention.
That is true. Yeah. I didn't think about that, D-Mace. Good glass half full view of that. Caroline Relay, D-Mace, we're out here at Jasper's. We've got the games on. They're going to have the games on all day long. We've got Maryland, West Virginia up on the TV now. Come out, grab some food, grab some drinks. We'll be hanging out here all day long at Jasper's. But
Maryland,
it was
in a little bit of a hole.
They came by a bucket.
16-4, West Virginia with the lead. And this is the other problem with the games. They drag. The TV timeouts are twice as long. It seems like every play is reviewed in the game.
Somebody
got to
pay the bills.
I know. But they do drag. I'm like, it's still 11 minutes to go in the first half? What the heck? It's 15-4.
On and on. And I'm sure that is probably devised by CBS.
Yeah.
They like that.
Yeah. Oh,
but the Aaron Rodgers sit down with Pat McAfee yesterday was truly something that could go in the Smithsonian in the history of football media. But there are a few tidbits that just made me laugh. And this was one of them.
Because I love direct communication. If they had just said, listen, we think it's time to move in a different direction. And we love you. And you're going to be a Packer Hall of Famer. You're going to go in the hall as a Packer. We're going to, you know, retire your number, whatever it might be. You know, but it's time to move on. I would have said, man, thank you so much just for telling me that. Like, I really, really appreciate that. That means the world to me that you would tell me that.
You appreciate direct communication, Aaron. Do you?
Hey, Aaron.
He hasn't been the most direct communicator to the Green Bay Packers. So I just thought it was so hilarious that he said, I would have appreciated direct communication from the organization. I'm sure they probably would have felt the same way about you.
You know what? I think because of what happened last year, I can sort of see what Aaron is talking about, because there had to be something in his mind saying, listen, if they're going to re-sign me to this huge contract, then they want me to be their quarterback for the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think any player would have thought that the massive amount of money they're giving you and they can't really get out of it, if they're giving me this much money, then they want me here, regardless of what the situation is. They want me as their quarterback for that 3 years. So there could have been some mixed communication. There could have been, well, yeah, we want Aaron, and we're going to give him this contract, but eventually in our mind, we're going to move on from him sooner rather than later. And Aaron's looking at it like, well, they gave me this contract. Well, I guess they want me to be here at least the 3 years of the contract. So there possibly could have been a breakdown, because If I'm a team, I just draft Jordan Love. I'm not signing that contract. I'm not offering him a contract worth that much money. Mm-hmm. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Because you're sending mixed messages. As great as he is, I'm not going to draft his heir apparent and then sign you to a three-year extension, you know, give you three more years at $150 million. I'm not going to do that. I may give you a one-year deal or possibly a two, but I'm not giving you a three-year deal and have to be stuck to that three-year deal unless I trade you. So there was some mixed messaging going on. Now, whether it was all Green Bay or if it was some of Aaron, I think they both are culpable in what's going on right now.
It all comes back down to this for me. Like, do we? I guess they had the highest rating. They were kind of beating their chest. The McAfee show saying had all these numbers, millions of people.
Good for them.
Absolutely, exactly.
Everybody was looking to see, but to get all of the dirty details and the dirty laundry or whatever, you know, just is that really what you want your legacy to be? We're gonna remember this. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to remember Aaron Rodgers as a player, but we're going to remember this tone.
It's his
narrative.
It'll
stick with him.
It's his narrative.
It's his narrative, but how does it come across to
everybody? But this is how.
Is that what you really want? I mean,
it's not what you want, Willie. It's almost, and I'm not saying he was, this is what he was. It was almost like I'm forced into doing this because I want to tell a narrative because everybody else is writing their own narrative about me. I'm not saying anything to anyone.
But where did that narrative start, though?
I understand where it started.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that whether Aaron started it or not, let's just say Aaron starts it, everybody runs with it and give their own narrative. Aaron sits back and listens to all of this. Now he's like, hold on, let me tell y'all what really happened. And I don't fault him because a lot of times we always tell player take the high road. No, players are done. No, players are done with taking a high road. You saw what Mike Vrabel did to some of his players, calling them out. So why should a player now take the high road because the organization doesn't want him anymore? The organization wants to move on. If you're going to dish dirt on me, I'm going to dish it back. To hell with the Michelle Obama reference. When they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we go lower. Because I want to make sure the narrative is the way I want it to be. We're going to continue to see players set their own narrative.
But it's the tone.
Forward.
It's the tone, too. It's how you do it.
Yeah.
And that... I don't disagree with what you're saying, but the way he comes off so sour and like,
he is
this
sour,
is what they did. The media doesn't know anything. Here's my story. This is what it is. You don't know the truth. I mean, just it's so sour.
He is sour, though.
That's what we remember. We don't even remember what he's saying. It's just what he looks like and how he comes across.
He got a stain on his sweatshirt.
Yes. Look like a slob.
You're half a billionaire. You couldn't have just washed the sweatshirt, Aaron. And I'm with you, D-Maze. I think players are more empowered now than they have ever been. And I think that is a good thing for sports. It's no longer just shut up and play. Mm. Like, you are a person and you have a platform and you have a voice and you should use that. But to Willie's point, I think it's fair that it's not just Aaron Rodgers coming out and resetting the narrative or righting the wrongs of what he thinks some people said incorrectly about him. I don't think Green Bay ever came out and trashed Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Green Bay ever came out and said things about Aaron Rodgers that weren't true. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I heard come out about the Green Bay Packers, and it wasn't that they stood at a podium and had a press conference about it. It was more so kind of beat writers saying, we're ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think anybody would fault the Green Bay Packers organization for wanting to do that. I mean, he's been putting them through the ringer over the past few years. I don't blame Green Bay for wanting to cut ties with Aaron Rodgers. I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for feeling a little bit salty about that. But I see the perspective from both sides, and I don't think that Aaron Rodgers should come across so crass about it.
I mean, yes, I get that part. But again, whether it be right or it be wrong, listen, I don't feel sorry for Green Bay. I don't feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gets his money. Green Bay put themselves in this position where that now they gotta bend the knee to Aaron Rodgers because of the contract that they gave him. Again, if you knew 100% that Jordan Love was your guy, which I don't believe they really think he's 100% their guy, but they just want to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. If you thought that Jordan Love was your guy 100%, you don't sign Aaron Rodgers to that contract. You just don't. you allow him to walk. You allow you trade him a year before you have to do that. But they were not. They were not convinced that Jordan Love was the guy, and they wanted to try to hold on to Aaron Rodgers as long as they possibly could. He was their future insurance policy just in case things doesn't work out with on Jordan Love. But it got to the point where they just got tired of, like, his antics, period. They got tired of the back and forth, and they're like, okay, we're done. Let's walk away. But it's your fault because you signed him to that deal.
I don't blame either side.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your calls, your texts, your thoughts on that. But coming up next, now that it seems more likely than ever that Aaron Rodgers is going to New York, is he going to get another Super Bowl in his time in New York? We'll get into our thoughts as well. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. So I would just, I think it is interesting at this point to step back and look at the whole picture.
The teams have been selected for the college basketball tournament, so that means it is time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, some of 29 Degree Drafts and Wall-to-Wall Sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in Nashville, in the Nashville area, from your dream acreage home site. Call now, 866-GET-LAND, and go to the Nashville, go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge or the Game Nashville app now and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th. So there we heard Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show saying on Friday he thought the deal was done. He was headed to New York. He had every intention of playing in New York. So I will ask you two the question. Will he win a Super Bowl in New York?
Oh, boy. No. He will not.
Does he have an opportunity to win? Yes, I think he does. Does the odds for the Jets winning the Super Bowl go up? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Go up tremendously. But it's just a gauntlet that he has to go through. Not to say that Aaron Rodgers can't go through it, you know, because I think this is probably the first time in the last couple of years that he's going to have a really, really good defense. So it's not going to – he's not going to have to bear the weight of, you know, putting up 30 points per game. Mm-hmm. Even though they may do that because they have the talent at the running back position, at the receiver position, obviously I think they got to work on their offensive line. But I think when you're talking skill position-wise, they got a really good running back in Hall. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Alan Lazard now. You got Corey Davis. You got Elijah Moore. You got some good pass catchers. So I think he puts himself – I think he put this team right in the mix of potential Super Bowl winners. But, man, the you know, you got to go through Cincinnati, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Miami, Buffalo. That's just the name five teams. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the Chargers. Denver will look much better. Different than they did last year, I believe in Sean Payton. So that team will look much different. So you just keep adding teams, and you never know. Listen, Indianapolis, they may draft their quarterback, and they may hit the ground running with their quarterback. This is just a long line of teams that he has to go through to get to the Super Bowl. Is it possible? Is it impossible? No. But it's going to be damn hard for him to do it.
I don't think he'll win a Super Bowl. But I will say this. It very well could be worth it to him and the Jets. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think this could be fun. Mm-hmm. If he can build a good relationship there, elevate that team to a level they haven't been in a decade, contenders, get to the playoffs, beat some good teams, be in the mix, totally worthwhile. You know, winning the Super Bowl, that's hard to do. I don't, you know, we just talked about the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, the last – after they lost, you know, they're relevant. The Bills were awful for a long, long time. They didn't make the
Almost
playoffs.
20 years.
For 20 years. They're exciting. They're in the mix. They may or may not win it, but they're in it. I don't know that the Jets will be the best team in there, but this could be fun. It's going to be exciting. And they'll get that fan base energized.
for the first time in a long time.
That's worthwhile.
I can see, not to say that it will happen, I can see this being a Tampa Bay Buccaneers sort of deal. When Aaron Rodgers walks into that building, just like when Tom Brady walked into the building in Tampa, everybody understood that we can win now.
Yep.
We can win a Super Bowl now. So everyone is going to elevate their game. But here's the tricky part about it, and Aaron has to understand this. Tom walked in, and Tom did everything. He showed them, this is what I expect y'all to do. I'm going to be here during mini camps. I'm going to be here, you know, throwing with my receivers all day. I'm going to have a guy stand at my house because I want him, and we're going to go over the playbook in Antonio Brown. So he did the dirty work to show everyone else this is what it's going to take to win a Super Bowl. If Aaron doesn't come in there with that mentality like Tom Brady did, it's going to be harder for him to win over that team. Now, they're going to think when he walks in the door, we got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But if you don't show them the way like Tom showed Tampa the way, then they're going to look and say, well, I mean, yeah, you're great, but you're not showing us what it takes, the dedication it takes to win a Super Bowl. Tom showed Tampa that, and they followed right behind him. Aaron has to show you New York, especially with a young team.
It's a fair point.
The other difference, I think, is that the NFC was much more winnable than the AFC. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make it tougher for Aaron Rodgers. But I agree with everything you said. He's going to walk in there with a ton of credibility. Everybody is going to feel it. We can win now. We've got the quarterback. We have the other pieces. We can be good. But you're right. He's got to set the tone. He's got to be the leader. But he's also got to beat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Burrow. I mean, it wasn't like that in the NFC.
And just look at the division.
For Brady.
Now you've got the
division.
Bills.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are loading up Jalen Ramsey. They grabbed Tyreek Hill last year. I don't know what the deal is with Tua. I don't know Miami's quarterback situation. I do think Miami's a better team than they were last year. And then you add Aaron Rodgers onto a Jets team that I think was just a quarterback away from being much more competitive. That might be the most stacked division in the NFL.
Because, you know, the Patriots are not going to just crater, I don't think. I mean, they're going to be competitive, if nothing else.
I mean, how the tables have turned from the days where the Patriots were the only relevant team in that division, and now it's every team except the Patriots. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. We'll be out here all day, so make sure to come and check out the games here. Coming up next, free agency has changed a lot of things for individual teams, for the Titans themselves, but it also changes the market. Has it changed the market for one member inside the Tennessee Titans organization? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.